92.5.
Driving the Gold Coast home. The Rush Hour with Luke Bradnam and Margo Parker.
It's great to be here wherever I am. I always love it when I'm here. But I've never been here before. It's great to be back.
I've been on the road doing comedy now for 10 years, so bear with me while I plaster on a fake smile and plow through this one more time.
Heyo, Gold Coast, what's doing? Here we go, Luke and Margo. Welcome to the catch-up, a big show for you this afternoon. So much to get through, Margo, because we're on holidays for a couple of weeks after today, so we sort of jam-packed today's show.
Yeah, we did. We crammed 2 days' worth of shows into one and all your favourites that we normally do on a Friday. We thought we'd do for today for you so you didn't miss out.
We're going to have our tool of the week now. Front page of the Gold Coast Bulletin today, Mike from Married at First Sight is copping it from a heap of people in the media.
He might be someone's tool of the week.
Well, he's coming on the show to defend himself, and the gloves are going to be off, and he's going to come out swinging, so that's going to be must listen to radio.
I need you to help me dissect my relationship with Corey, because although we love each other and we're very much together, we are very, very different people.
The election has been called May 8th. We're going to the polls. That's the day of the sausage sizzle.
Election?
And Paul election? Murray is going, you're going to do that joke again, eh? Hey, you'll hear that joke again today, actually on the show as well.
I think it got cut out.
Oh, did it really? Margo's very proud of that. She's getting that joke in somehow.
They're like, Charterboat. What, Charterboat?
Yeah, no, we get it. We get it.
Just making sure.
Paul Murray's coming on to dumb down the election for us. And also, I had a funeral that I went to today.
Very sad.
My uncle's funeral. They forgot to tell me something very important, namely that I'm doing the eulogy. It was an horrendous experience, but you'll hear it for
Critical
yourself.
Critical information.
If you listen to this, it's the catch up, and it's starting for you right now.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast with Luke Bradnam and Margo Parker.
Mike from Married at First Sight is going to come on the show next to defend himself after being pounded about in the media after the last couple of days. Front page of the Bully today is copping it left, right and centre. So we'll get into that before you. Coming up next.
I question most days how Corey and I have lasted together so long.
How long have you been together?
16 years. Yes. I met Corey when I was 18. He was 21.
That's great.
We've been together 16 years.
I went to a funeral today where it was my auntie and uncle. My uncle died and they'd been together for 50-something years.
Yeah, that's amazing. Doesn't happen often these days.
But 16's a long time, Margo.
Yeah, 16's a good innings and, hopefully, 50-odd years to go and if we get there.
Oh, of course.
Well, I don't know if it's an opposites attract kind of thing, but Corey and I are very similar in some senses in our beliefs and our morals and our ethics and how we raise our kids and how we love each other and what we stand for and all those sorts of things. But then there's like the really trivial stuff that
like
we
what?
Do so very differently.
Give me an example.
Well, stacking the dishwasher, Luke. So there's a certain way to stack a dishwasher, and that's the way that I do it. And Corey does it a different way, and I'm not sure what it is that he thinks that he's doing, but I feel like it's almost he's doing it on purpose so that he doesn't have to do it anymore.
What is it? Brixie breaking into your story with some Paula Abdul from the early 90s for no apparent reason.
Well, opposites attract.
Oh, I see. Yes, we
go together like opposites attract and you know it.
Right.
And Corey likes to think that, the bottom drawer is there for a reason. Plates, bowls, saucepans, big crockery items, that sort of thing. And then the second drawer, the top drawer is cups, utensils, right, bottles, etc.
So what does he do?
Well, he just puts them anywhere nearly.
Willy-nilly.
Anywhere. Then stuff doesn't get washed properly. So then when you open the dishwasher to empty it, everything's still got food stuck on it or hasn't been cleaned properly because he's got stuff over stuff and things in the wrong section so they can't get cleaned. And then when he hangs the washing on the line, not only does he not use the same coloured pegs to hang up the same item of clothing, which is what I do because, two blue pegs go together, not a red one and a blue one, but he folds the shirts in half and then puts a peg in the middle. So then you end up with a peg mark on your shirt. So you go to wear it and then you've got to iron it or you can't wear that shirt because it's ruined.
Can I just
sat on the clothesline for 2 days too long and now I've got a big dirty old peg mark on my shirt.
Can I speak up for Corey for 1 second?
Of course.
And actually for a lot of guys listening to this, get over over it. Holy jeez.
No, just
can
do
you
it,
believe this? Bricks
just do
water.
It the right way. Do it my way. I've been whinging at him for long enough. You think it would maybe sink in at some point?
Oh, honestly, I wouldn't do it at all.
And like if we're going, if we're going somewhere, like we'll go from point A to point B, but he'll go one way and I'll go the other. And I'm like, what did you go that way for?
Margo, I'm talking.
He's like, because this is the way to go. And I'm like, why wouldn't you go this way? And he's like,
I'm talking to Brixy at the moment.
Yeah, mate.
Brixy, I bet you he knows how to put his earplugs in perfectly.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, I'm sure he does. I'm looking for mine.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast with Luke Bradnam and Margo Parker.
I've got to say, I feel sorry for Mike from Married at First Sight.
I feel sorry for all of them, Luke. Like, this show has not done anyone any favours other than Jules and Kemp.
Yeah. And I honestly don't get why he's copping such a hiding in the media at the moment. It's front page of The Bully today. You can read it for yourself if you're that interested. But it's basically him getting torn apart left, right and centre. I watched the show. I didn't think he was any of the things that they're suggesting in the paper.
Well,
but
he didn't do himself a huge amount of favours, but I think he's copping some pretty harsh criticism.
But he's joining us right now. He is a local Gold Coast. Mike, welcome to the show, mate. How are you?
Luke and Margo, how are you?
This is our love song. Margo thinks that...
You two were spotted on the Gold Coast just recently together. It's on our Luke and Margo Instagram page. There's a nice photo of you two holding hands at what seems to be like a festival or something with your shirts off, in your shorts. Sun's out,
it was
guns
a cool
out.
Photo, Margo.
I thought you might like that one.
Might have been a bit of Photoshop action going there. Hey, mate, how do you respond? It's front page of the paper today and you're copping it left, right and centre from different people in the media. How do you respond to everything that's happening at the moment?
Oh, buddy, that's a spicy one. Look, you know, I take it with a grain of salt, in all honesty. In most cases in life, I rarely take a backward step from anything I've said. But look, you know, this show, it's given me cause to do that. And probably my comments on the final show, I know they ruffled some feathers. But look, you know, there was some merit to what I was saying. I didn't mean to offend anyone, but geez, the country's, you know, they got up in arms about it.
Do you understand, though, some of the things that you did say were offensive and so therefore people are going to be offended by it? Yeah.
Yeah, of course I do. Come on, I'm not completely insensitive, Margo. I mean,
still stand by what you said. Because you're saying there's some merit.
You know what? More so than what I said, I stand by my right to say it. Yeah. I think it's really important. Look, it's dangerous to censure or sanction what somebody says, you know, in public. I mean, we're not living in North Korea here. We have a freedom of speech.
Unless you're Israel Folau, then someone should sanction what you say.
Exactly. Look,
he's got the right to say it, Margot.
Yeah, he does. Freedom of speech. Yeah. I get all of that. But I just wondered, you know, now, you know, having watched it back and had time to think about it and process it, would you say it again had you had the time over?
No, that's a firm no, definitely. But having said that, see, people have got short memories. If you remember the part right before I said that, you'll hear Liz rip into men in general, generalize about men. And that seems to be, you know, daily vernacular. People have no problem bagging men, male bashing. And then when a guy makes a philosophical observation about women, suddenly we're the bad guy. I don't understand that. That doesn't make sense to me.
Look, there's definitely a double standard.
It's a recurring double standard that seems to exist in society, and it just doesn't sit well with me.
So you think that men are judged more harshly than women, and women can have a crack at men, but men can't reciprocate?
Absolutely.
Hey, Mike, on a different subject, mate, away from that, because, God, I'll tell you what, it says something about our nation when... This is front page of the paper. Like this, all this
stuff. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And there's an election got called today.
This is not news.
And Mike's on front page of the paper. But away from that, mate, there's been photos. I haven't seen them yet, but the before and after photos of your head tattoo. Have you?
Yep.
Did you know that these have come out? And can you talk us through that process? Because honestly,
yeah, sure.
It looks like
I wouldn't have known the difference.
No, I would never have known
it
either.
Not been brought to our attention.
Yeah. Look, you know what? I'm glad you asked that. And to be fair, I'm going to own it. Obviously, I was the one that sort of came out with it. I think it's a good opportunity for bald men, and I know what they've gone through, to do something, you know, to make themselves happy again. I mean, geez,
take ownership.
Women... So, exactly. Girls get to have all the fun, you know. They get all sorts of things done to their body. It's time for the guys to step up and have a bit of fun with it. I'm not ashamed. Sorry?
Is it permanently on there? Like, is it a proper tattoo or is it something that... So someone was telling me it fades in time, but is it's perfect.
It's a proper tattoo.
All the best to you, brother.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
And thanks for being accessible throughout the course of the show. Don't be a stranger, mate. We're, here we go. Our love song.
Oh, I love it.
I love it. Hey, all the best to you, mate.
Hey, I want to give you guys a big shout out. Can I tell you something? I've been on more than 50 radio shows now all around the country, and I'm going to tell you something. You guys are far and away my favourites. I think you're impartial and you're fair and you treat me respectfully. If ever I was going to go into radio, it would be with your station and your station only.
Hey, rock on, Mike. We appreciate it.
Thanks, mate.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot, brother. There he goes.
Have a great day, guys.
Good on you. Mike.
He means with you, Luke. He wants to work in radio with
Luke
you.
Luke and Mike, you reckon?
I think I'm on the way out.
No, I don't think so, Margo.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast with Luke Bradnam and Margo Parker.
Bachelor in Paradise last night, Luke, and I was bitterly disappointed. I had a whinge about it earlier today, and they led me into a false sense of security in the fact that they played all these promos. Former Bachelor Richie Strahan is on the show. Alex Nation is the one that he picked at the end of the day. They went on to have a relationship and things didn't pan out and they broke up. And so then we were then going to find out all the grubby details once they finally had seen each other for the first time since they'd broken up. And we didn't really get what we wanted out of the conversation. I'll take you back. Because I know you wouldn't have watched it. This is what unfolded on the show last night.
Do you actually want to go there, Rich?
No, don't beat around the bush, Alex. Say it, because you're not going to like my response. Because we did talk about it. We talked about the whole thing.
Over the phone.
Yep. And what you said to me blew my mind.
Over the phone.
So if you want to go into it, Alex, we can. Again, I've had to come to peace with this. I've thought about this a lot. Like, I tried so hard to make our relationship work and...
You tried hard to make our relationship work.
Yeah, definitely. 100%.
So there was a lot of that sort of back and forth.
What are they talking about?
They're saying it was a 9-minute unedited conversation between the two because they felt the nation deserved an unedited version of it and they wanted to give Alex and Richie the opportunity, you know, to talk, you know, about it, full disclosure kind of thing. But they ended up talking in riddles and she's like, I should never have to go through what I went through alone. You know, that was something that we were supposed to go through together. And he's like, I shouldn't have woken up to that. And the conversation, she's like, I told you. And he's like, yeah, on the phone, and it was back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and nobody knows why the bloody hell they broke up in the first place.
Well, why did they show it then? Well, I'm not trying to make a joke here, but I've got no idea what they're talking about, and I've got no idea what you're talking about. I honestly don't know anything about these two, you're not filling me in.
It's convoluted because they didn't fill us in, Luke, so I can't fill you in because I don't even know what they were talking about.
So they showed nine minutes of a conversation where nobody knows what they're talking
about. There was no resolve, yeah, because he thinks she broke up with him and he broke up with her and they both tried in the relationship and now they don't know why they broke up, but there's a reason and we're not really quite sure what the reason is.
Why are we talking about it?
She beat it around the bush.
Why are we talking about it?
Well, I thought about what, like, the most silly breakups. Like, they don't even know why they broke up.
What about silly conversations?
Well, it could be silly conversations, Luke. We have many of them in here.
That's ridiculous what they're talking about there. I break up with a chick once, Margo. I'm not proud of this, but I break up with a chick in high school because... Look, I didn't go through puberty until very, very late in life. I literally didn't.
Still going through it.
I am. I'm still going
still
through it.
Still can't grow a beard. It's a bit patchy.
But I was like really hell... I was so scared that she was going to find out that I hadn't hit puberty. I was 16. I might have even been... No, I was...
What, you didn't have any like...
I had nothing, Margo.
Nothing growing.
I had nothing. Mm. And it was getting... Things were getting further and further advanced. And it was going to get to a stage where she was going to work out...
You were
going
to have to be intimate.
Yes.
And she would see and then you were embarrassed.
And so I broke up with her. I broke up with her because I had...
You wussed out.
I did because I didn't want her
to know.
Didn't
man up, Bradley.
And I really liked her too.
Because you weren't a man.
No, because I wasn't a man. And I had to break up with her. And, you know, it was like a cruel joke from God at me because I really wanted to, but I couldn't because I had a secret and that was that I had nothing.
Do you know I've never broken up with anyone?
Oh, you're, why?
Because I don't like hurting people's feelings. So I just wait for them to break up with me. Because I'm really bad at, like... making people feel bad. I don't like it. I like to make people feel nice. And so I've been broken up with a lot.
Mm, you're proud of that.
I've never.
You just drive them to break you up.
Yeah. I pretty much just settle until they say, actually, you know what? I'm not happy anymore. See you later. I'm like, oh, thank God for that.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast with Luke Bradnam and Margo Parker.
Margo, you may notice I'm dressed in a suit today.
Very dapper.
Thank you, Margo.
Very corporate, very dressed up for Luke Bradnam in the studio.
Well, the reason why is because I've come straight to the show from a funeral this afternoon. My uncle passed away and I've been out at the Lambie Gardens at Narang and we had his funeral. And
Uncle Eddie to rest.
Yeah, we put Uncle Eddie to rest and I've got to tell you, I went through a pretty unique experience at the funeral.
They're never easy funerals.
Well, particularly this one, Margo, because this is what happened for me. I rock in there and I sit down and the funeral starts. Now, I've got my girlfriend Lauren on one side of me. I've got my brother Ashley on the other side of me. And as the priest starts talking, I grab the little leaflet that they give you. It's got a photo,
booklet
of Uncle Eddie on the front. And I'm sort of reflecting on Uncle Eddie and what a top bloke he was and how much I loved him. And then I start flicking through the actual program to see what the rundown is for the funeral and how it's going to work. And in it, it says, oh, we're going to have a hymn. We have a hymn.
Yeah.
We have a reading, which my sister did. And then it says, the eulogy from Luke Bradnam.
Oh, dear.
Now,
were you aware that you were doing the eulogy?
This is the first I'm hearing about the fact that I'm doing Uncle Eddie's eulogy.
Oh, no.
Nobody told me. They told the printer that I was doing the eulogy, but I didn't know that I was making a speech at Uncle Eddie's funeral.
That's pretty critical because the eulogy is like the most important thing that you have to be well prepared for.
Margot, they forgot. And, you know, I mean, I can understand
it. Yeah, it's a time of grief. People forget things.
But they told the printer printed a book with my name in it and nobody thought to tell me that I'm doing the eulogy. And all I'm thinking now is I'm sitting down there. I thought I was there to watch. I'm putting on the
show.
You're
participating.
It's
a big role.
I turn to my brother and I go, look at this. I'm doing the eulogy. He goes, did you know? I go, I'm just finding out now. You would usually put a ton of work into doing a eulogy.
Yeah. Luckily, though, you're pretty quick on your feet with words. Like, you're good with words. How did you fare?
Well, I got through it. I mean, I could have done a better job, don't get me wrong, but I thought I was...
Did you apologise in advance?
No, I wasn't going to get up there and make excuses from the start. No, I got up there and I told some Uncle Eddie stories and we got through it. But I'll tell you, this has happened to me a couple of times in my life. A few years ago, I was doing the breakfast show at a different radio station. The phone rings, it's 11 o'clock in the morning, it's my mate. My mate says, hey, listen, I'm just letting you know that my old man passed away and the funeral's on this afternoon at 3 o'clock.
Oh, God.
And I go, mate, I'll be there. I'm figuring he's ringing to ask me to go to the funeral. I go, mate, I wouldn't miss it, I'll be there. He goes, yeah, no, I was hoping you'd come and we were hoping you'd do the eulogy as well. Now,
do you think it's because you work in radio, people just assume that you're good at public speaking?
I don't even know this guy's name. I don't think I'd ever met this guy's dad.
Oh.
And I have to ring my dad and say, hey, Dad, what's such and such as Dad's name? And he goes, oh, Pete, why? And I go, because I'm doing his eulogy in 4 hours' time.
And that's not something you can really say no to, can you? Like, nah, sorry, don't feel like it, or I don't really know him well enough. You kind of feel obliged to say yes.
I never interacted with this person, and next thing you know, I'm at the... I would have been at a million to one odds that I would have been doing his eulogy.
How did you go? Nailed it.
Margo, honestly, because I'd never had an interaction with him, I had to literally make up an interaction that never occurred and tell it at his funeral.
You lied at his funeral.
What was I going to do?
I don't know.
I had nothing else that I could do. And I stood up there and told a lie at this guy's funeral.
Do you feel guilty?
Not really. Oh. No. They should feel guilty. They should feel guilty for not telling me in the first place.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast with Luke Bradnam and Margo Parker.
I am the proud owner, Margo, of a brand new phone here. It's one of these fancy iPhones that doesn't have a home button.
Yeah, it's cool, hey.
Not really.
You got Face ID, although that gets a little bit annoying after a while. Hey, I just ended up taking mine off.
I got Face ID, and we're trying to work this out last night. So this unlocks when I hold it up to my face, but we're trying to work out if it would unlock on my identical twin brother's face.
Did it?
I haven't tried it yet.
Oh, you should have tried it.
Do you reckon that it will work? Like, it's Face ID.
It should. If you're identical, a lot of your features are similar.
Yeah, so it would be interesting to see. Like, his fingerprint doesn't unlock my phone, but I wonder if his face does, because on Facebook, where it comes up and it says, like, oh, you know...
Recognising the photos.
You might be tagged in this photo. Sometimes I go and check it out and it's my brother, not me. And so that'll be interesting. But anyway, there's this new fancy phone and it's got a fancy camera on it and...
It's still got that new phone feeling.
I've still got the plastic on it, Margo.
You still have the plastic on it. Yes. That's like leaving the fuel consumption sticking on a new car.
So here's the go.
Like, or the little UV on the sunglasses.
I don't have a case for it yet, so I'm taking extra care of it because...
Yeah, you're respectful.
I don't want to crack the screen. My last iPhone had a cracked screen and all that sort of stuff, and so I'm trying to take real care of it. Last night, I go home. Now, at this stage, I would have had this new phone for about 5 hours. And I go into the bathroom just to take a slash, right? I'm having a leak in the bathroom. And at the same time, I've got my phone in my left hand. And God knows how.
Why did you take it in with you?
I had to bug it if I know, Margo. Okay. But I'm standing up, having you know, and all of a sudden, I lose grip in my left hand.
Oh.
And it's like slow motion. It's doing somersaults and it's heading straight for the toilet bowl that I'm peeing into. I'm peeing into it at the same time. And I abandon ship with what's going on down there. I take both my hands and go like a slips fieldsman for Australia, go clutching for the phone, right? I mean, it looked like the fire brigade had been to the bathroom, Margo.
Oh.
There's water going everywhere. There's you name it.
Wow.
And I'm like, please don't go in the toilet. And I grab it and I saved it, Margo.
Oh, what a catch.
What a catch.
Bradnam with the catch of the century.
I heard Richie Beno from the grave
calling.
Say, what a catch. What a catch from Bradnam. What a beautiful catch. What beautiful hands he has. And then I went and got the mop.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast with Luke Bradnam and Marco Parker.
And the election got called today, May 18. And as far as I know, we're not a big concern here on the Gold Coast, Margo, because we're a pretty safe sort of Liberal seat.
Isn't that far LNP? Away, though? Shouldn't they be calling the election earlier?
No, well, I think they'll get 30-odd days of it. What, you want some more Clive ads
Julie
in your life?
Julie Bishop said yesterday on the Today Show that she would be calling for it now.
Right.
If it were her.
Well, it just got called today. Did you hear what I said?
No, I know, but on May 18, isn't it? So that's ages away.
What are you talking about? It got called today for May 18. Anyway, okay. Margo, you stay out of it.
Well, Paul Murray's going to dumb it down for dum-dums me, because clearly I got no idea.
Hey, Paul, you better dumb it right down, mate. Like whatever level you thought you were going to, take it down about 5 or 6 levels further. Margo's on the show this afternoon.
Hello, Luke. Hello, Margo. You frighten me, Margo, because we have compulsory voting, and no matter how much I read and talk about it and read the maps and all the rest, we've got equal say. Equal freaking say.
Hey, Paul, you should get 100 votes for Margo's one.
Well, that's why I don't think voting should be compulsory, because I'll do one of those donkey votes, or I'll just see who hands me the pamphlets when I go go to my electorate area.
Right. Look,
and then I'll go, he looks like he's smart and knows what he's doing. For him.
You're the reason we shouldn't have compulsory
votes. That's what I said.
Hey, she's the reason we got Clive Palmer.
That's the reason why America's got Donald Trump.
I think the sales department's the reason we keep getting Clive Palmer. But look, it is a pretty safe Liberal area all up and down the coast, with the exception of, obviously, at the absolute northern end, and I know we're sort of on our way to Brisbane when we start to talk about places like Logan, but there's a little bit of crossover in the seat called Ford, and that's the one that is one of the most marginal. But essentially, in terms of the coast, generally speaking, bar the extreme north of it, pretty locked in Liberal.
So, mate, we'll probably get not too many enticements chucked our way throughout the campaign here on the coast. Who's likely to win? Apparently, we're going to have a Bill Shorten as Prime Minister. Is that the way that you see it, Paul, if you had to put your house on it right now?
Well, bookies, and they, they got a little more invested than polls or pundits. They say Labor could win as many as 20 seats. The government, of course, can't lose one. So that gives you an idea of just how big we're steaming towards a Labor victory. But that said, look, Scott Morrison is a fair income fighter. I think there's a lot of little ideas that are going to be big problems for Labor. And then also the assumption might be too, hey, if you think everyone else is going to vote Labor, well, then guess what happens?
Yeah, right.
You end up with a Trump-style situation. You end up with a Brexit when you assume a result is coming. So one of the worst things that the Labor Party is going to want over the next month or so, and let me explain why, by the way, the election, Margo, isn't as such called today. You have to have 33 days of an election campaign.
Okay.
It takes 33 days to work out how the polling booths work, who's running for Parliament, how are you going to count it, all of that stuff. And you also get 3 weeks where you can vote early.
Good.
And at least half of all people, they think at this election, are going to vote in the 3 weeks before the election.
Hey, good on you, Paul. All the best, mate. We'll talk to you throughout the course of the campaign. It's going to be a fun time watching you on Sky News over the next 32 days. Appreciate it, the Savo, mate. See you later.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast with Luke Bradnam and Marco Parker.